To be the best, you need to play with the best. You might not have your own personal high-level circle of women yet, but you can hang with us on the Female Millionaire Show. I'm Midori Verity, serial entrepreneur for over 25 years, and I interview badass female founders and cut through to what you really need to know. So in 20 minutes, you have what can take years to learn. If you're wanting to play bigger, come play with us. Join the Female Entrepreneur Revolution today. Cheers. We are here with a woman who does not accept no for an answer. And if she hears no, she's going to find a way to change that no into something that works better for her. We are here with Vanessa Colon, and she is a dynamo. She's done all kinds of things, but all revolving around helping families with children with learning and behavioral challenges and needs, which now is known, you're gonna start hearing this term more, but known as twice exceptional. So if you hear that term, that's what it means, because really that's what they are. And it's just how we react to them, how we deal with it. But she was turned away. Her kids were turned away at one school. We'll go into this. So she decided to start her own Colon Family Services and school. Now she has her own show. Now she has her own programs. Now she has something called the 3R approach, which we're going to go into. She does yoga. She has done all kinds of stuff. So welcome to the show, Vanessa.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Yeah. Okay. So we love, I was telling you before we hit record, how much I love overachievers, because we're a certain breed. But I love especially when the overachieving comes because there's something that like triggered you. So can you talk a little bit more about what got you into this field, and you know, what keeps you going? What makes you do all these things that you keep on adding on? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Right. So I have my master's in clinical psychology. And when I was in my master's program doing therapy, and I was thinking of like, okay, well, not one approach goes with everybody, right? And so why would you just get trained in one approach? So I decided to, you know, branch out, and I had four different supervisors at that time looking at attachment, trauma, behavioral interventions, relationship-based approaches. And so when I started doing my actual work in like as therapy, doing that, I realized this doesn't make any sense for kids. Because I feel like kids know what to say when they walk into a room. They know what to say when they're doing it. So I like to be out in the community. I like to be more hands-on. That's where you're going to see the work. And when you go into the family's home, that's where you're going to actually see the dynamics shift, because they become more comfortable. Things come out, because obviously in an office, they know what to say. And a lot of times kids are going to be like, well, how do you control your body? Well, I take a deep breath. It's the same thing. And it's just rote to me. So how do you actually get them to really understand their actions and their behavior? And how do you help the family dynamic be healthier, and how they're working with one another and doing it? Because I think a lot of times, I also was looking at it like, if a child is in an office, what message are we sending to the child if the parents are outside? The message is something's wrong with you. It's the whole family dynamic we have to look at, right? Everybody has something to work on. So then how do we get to a place where the child and the family is in a better place? And I also have a hard time with, you know, one of the things I provide is social coaches. So we go into different private schools and we're teaching, you know, the social cues that you're learning in a lot of these different schools. And it just so happened December, like 8 years ago, because we have an 8-year anniversary coming up in our school, that three kids literally within 48 hours were kicked out. I was like, I don't know what to do right now, but everyone had their own person. So I said, come to my home, let's just figure this out. And that's kind of where the school launched. I wasn't planning on having a school. It was just like, where are they going to go in January? Oh yeah, they have nowhere to go. So
how about my home?
I know, right? And then they like had to sneak in through the back. I mean, it had a lot of story.
Oh my gosh. But you made it happen. So you have these kids, and I remember you saying, you know, like, you don't want people to hurt. So, yeah. I mean, it's a little extreme. Not everyone will go as far as you do. No. But okay. So, but you hadn't had a school before.
No.
I don't even know that you had been a formal teacher.
No.
How did you work backwards?
So that's what's funny. My whole life, I feel like I always have the house and then I have to get the foundation. I have to learn that, right? So when I remember a supervisor telling me this, well, you have the foundation, that you have the house, but not the foundation. And so for me, like, what am I, these kids that are like really struggling, they're not going to be able to go to any school. They're not going to be able to do these things. And so I also have dyslexia and I was in special ed as a kid. So people would say, you should have a school because I'm working with them. I'm all, there's no way. I can't hear sounds. Like, I don't like to read. I've never really read a psychology book. I'll do an audiobook and other things like that. But yeah, I have four books now. But if you're looking at the books, it's like pointers, right? It's like, how do we really get the help needed versus like a lot of blah, 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 blah. Like, I like specific strategies and tools and I like results. So that's where I'm coming from. And so a lot of these kids, if they're super explosive at times, it's really because they're hurting in the inside. And a lot of times you're finding kids that don't know how to ask for help. So then what do? They act out because they don't know how to ask for help. And they also don't want you to know that you don't know. So also think about the family dynamic, like, and depending if parents are like super successful and how they do. So for me, it's like, how do I get, how do I get these families and children in a place where they're not constantly butting heads and like the parent actually wants to go home? Because I don't think people realize like parents are very isolated. And so they don't want to take their kids out. They're embarrassed by their behavior. And I understand that. But then it just accumulates, right? It's a snowball effect. And then it's just that disconnect keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then as the kids get older, it just, they don't have that anchor. And so if you're
And
looking
I
at
think
different
this
stuff.
is, I wish that there were more programs in schools, especially right now. We all know that since the pandemic, things have gotten so much more elevated and there's so many more problems. And that's what I love about what you're doing. You saw a problem, you are working on the solution. You built the house first and you figured, okay, you know what? We'll put this all together. It will work somehow. And as entrepreneurs, we have to do that sometimes,
Right.
right? And we just kind of keep on going. And it's some, like the way that I think of it, a lot of times is when things feel overwhelming, I tell my clients, just put your head down, just keep taking those steps forward. It may be messy, it may be ugly, but just keep moving forward. And then soon you'll be, or sooner, maybe not so soon, but eventually you'll be able to look up. But sometimes we just got to hold tight, right?
I remember, so we're part of the WASC accreditation, we're in the candidacy piece. And I remember they called me and they said, would you want to sit on the school committee? And I'm like, I have to say yes. Like, I really, like, I have to, like, I'm trying to get my school accredited. So and with my dyslexia, I'm not really, my reading is like, I get things like backwards a lot, or like, I think there's a direction or something else. So I remember it was our first meeting with everybody. And I just thought it was like, just the committee people. No, it was like the schools and everything else. And I remember them going around saying, I'm an assistant superintendent. I've been doing this. And I'm a principal. I've been doing this. And then somebody else in the mall. And then there's me. I'm like, but you have to keep going. And it's this level of like, I think that there's that imposter syndrome that sometimes I go against of like, my heart is there with the kids, but I just have to learn everything backwards in a way. Cause I mean, there's so much terminology with teaching that I was like, what is that? I'm like texting and I'm like, did that word mean again? Again, like fake it till you make it in some level, right?
Some people say, no, don't do that. But I am all about that because sometimes we just have to fill in the gaps,
No,
right? We
yeah.
just got to keep doing I say it all the time. You got to keep doing the do until it works.
The other thing is surrounding yourself with women that get it. And I think that's been my hardest challenge is that, I'm not doing this for my ego. I'm doing this to help. And so having just being around people that I can call and say, hey, I don't understand what's happening right now. Can someone explain on the business side or anything like that, right? Doing grants or anything. You have to have that support. And to me, it's like be around people that are smarter than myself so I can learn too, because I don't know it all.
Right.
I think that's the key that has been able to go through my success. Like now having my radio, then from the WASC person, now I'm San Bernardino district wide for my social emotional learning curriculum. And it's because I see things differently. I'm not this cookie cutter of like, this is what it is.
Yeah, you think outside of the box. So, how did you get your show, and then how did you get into San Bernardino School District with your program? Because one, schools are very risk averse with anything that's newish, right? So how did you do this?
I think what During all, I've sat on two with the WASD team. I've sat on two different school boards of like, go not school. I mean, committees. And, you know, part of it is giving feedback to the teachers. And a lot of these were mental health facilities or other schools, right? And just seeing and then giving my feedback on the approach, which is the three R's. So one of the things that one of the things at my school's, the mission or one of the rules is if it happened on Tuesday, it stays on Tuesday. We don't talk about it again. Right. I don't think people realize how much that if you keep talking about it, like my first book is Shut Up and Parent. You talk too much. We need to stop talking. It needs to be actions and let the kid, you know, let the kid have a new day. You know, every day is new. And so that's where I'm coming from in the way of the approach with the kids. Cause like, if you're going to keep talking about it over and over again, it's almost like when you're going to tell your kid, you're not going to hit today. Well, why don't you say, are we going to try to make better choices? So you want to look at the language. And so once I was giving that feedback, the assistant superintendent from San Bernardino, she's like, wait a minute, something's going on here. And I don't believe like in the reinforcement of like, oh, I did something nice. I get something. Cause then I'm like, well, what are we creating? Like I'm a kind person. So I should get rewarded for that. No, you should be a kind person because you feel good about yourself. And that's the right thing to do. And a lot of times kids, if you're looking at, you know, consequences, I'm going to take it all away. Parents are like, I'm going to take this away. And they don't care. So that's where the three R's come in because they can actually start to feel like, okay, my actions, there's consequences. I don't believe in the word sorry. If I hear it, my body just cringes. It has to be an action. Again, it's like these little simple things that make a huge difference for a child's self-esteem. And that's where I'm coming from. So if you can build a child's self-esteem up, you're going to see a difference. And that's really when they started seeing, okay, let's try this. And I mean, they put me through multiple interviews with heads of the schools and like, and gave me scenarios. And my thing is like, where's the teaching? How are we teaching something different? We split kids up and then we bring them back together, but we're not teaching them a new way. We gave them a break, but then we didn't teach them something else to do. Does that make sense?
Completely. Completely. Yeah. We have to get creative. We got to, you know, there has to be ways to break through to kids.
Yeah.
And so I love what you've come up with. And what's cool about this is that so many, especially women entrepreneurs, we're dealing with kids too, right? From the moment that we started our very first business 30 years ago, I was pregnant and then we had kids. And we don't address how challenging it is sometimes. So regardless of whether your child is labeled as twice exceptional or not, we still need tools and ways to deal with our kids that are effective. Because as parents, yeah, we're trying to balance all this stuff and it's so freaking hard. It just is. Really, right?
And so I have children. That. So I got a lot of other kids.
Oh, it's like you have a ton, right?
I have a ton and they're coming back around. So. They don't really leave. I mean, they know how to get into my house. The other day, like, I got one of my older kids. I'm all, wait, what is going on? How did you do that? He's like, oh, but remember the back? I'm all, oh, yeah.
Got in through the back door. Gotta love it.
I mean, like, but to me, like I open my home. I'm not just a teacher. It's like you kids have to know that you really mean it, but that's where I'm like, this is where my work is different. And that's also why I'm not licensed and didn't do all my hours. I'm all, yeah, there's too many rules. I don't do well with rules. Don't tell me what to do.
But you sound like an entrepreneur.
All right. I just, you know, to me, it doesn't make sense. If you have to have all these rules, then what are we doing? And right. Am I really making a difference? At 15 minutes, like I don't schedule back to back. I give myself time until I feel it's over. It's not like, okay, 15 minutes is up. It might just be 30 minutes or it might be something else. But like, why are we putting a time frame on something that you might just open a, you know, Pandora's box and then say, okay, see you next week.
Right. You're on your own. Take care. Yeah. So tell me what's next for you. Are you like looking to scale your school? What's next?
So that's a great question because we just actually got our 10th kid and now because the quality has to stay. And I also want to make sure that the dynamics between teachers and staff and like the kids and everything else. So one of the things about our school too, just, you know, we have movement desks, they're always moving and their bikes, like they're constantly going. So what's going to happen next with the San Bernardino contract happens January. I'm going to be on 95.7 Saturday mornings from 7:30 to 8. So I love talking and giving, you know, helping families and families can call in. I also want to be able to help people that can't afford it. So that's why I do TikToks and everything else. So my thing is that I would like to get more contracts in different schools. I also want to be able to get more, I want to get research on this approach. And so how are we working with parents and supporting parents so that they feel successful with their child? And also, like, my self-care journal for parents is like, how is this not personal, is one of the questions. So it's really being able to look at, you know, taking a step back and not, and understanding that the child is struggling, but it's not about you. So
have,
I think,
to do.
That, yeah,
have to,
like,
do.
It is. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you can understand that, you're going to have a different relationship with your child.
Completely.
Yeah. And so that's what I want to teach.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. So money sounds like that's a big issue. We need to get funding, right? Yeah. Getting the word out there, and then getting the, because if you want R&D, research and development, that's expensive. And then, you know, getting, you know, I love that you're on TikTok and you're using social media to help you grow, right?
No.
What's your number one, or let me ask you this first. What has been your biggest challenge in doing all the things that you're doing?
You know, I think honestly, parents, and I'm probably regret saying that later, but yeah, parents, because I feel like there's this level, like me not having it being a teacher, I feel like I'm always having to prove myself that like, it's something there, or like I act really like, listen, I'm young at heart. To me, I want to laugh. Like, I don't need to come in like all stuffy. Like, that's not my personality. And I think that I have, you know, a clientele that is very ambitious and driven. And yet I like, reading's not my thing. Like, there's just things that are not. So I think parents have a hard time. And then also the parents have not just understand that their kid has challenges and that they need a smaller classroom versus having like a school that has, you know, all these things. And I went to a school in San Francisco recently, and we did everything. And there was a family coming in the next day to my school. And I actually, and I'm kind of, I felt, when I went to this school, it's beautiful, right? We're not like fancy, everything else. Like, my kids know, like, if there's like a bunch of stuff on the side of the road, we might go look and see what it is. And we might bring it back in. Like, I don't, you know, Goodwill's our thing. But I came back and I felt like a little bit of, wow, like, this is a beautiful school. They have all this money, and yet we're not there. And I was kind of embarrassed to have this family come in. And I talked to my teacher. She's like, listen, we're doing the best we can. But it was a nice reminder that, like, I shouldn't be comparing myself. Mm-hmm. Normally that, but that was the first time that it's come up, because I'm like, we only have so much money and we can only do so much. So like, I would rather pay more staff to know that my kids are emotionally better and well, their well-being versus like a sign on my door. Right. So it's like looking at that piece. And so I think those are but that was the first time that's ever come up for me, when that was 2 weeks ago. And that was just like okay, we're going to the next step. More people are knowing about us now. Like, you know, money is going to be a big thing, and looking at grants. So that now I'll be looking at doing that piece.
And you just brought up a really important aspect of growth. So I don't care what the business is. I don't care if it's a school. I don't care if it's a nonprofit. It's all the same, right? We start somewhere.
Right.
And then we just keep on building. But it's when you have that passion and that drive and you freaking care that you just keep going.
Yeah.
Right. And you just kind of, and all of us have to talk ourselves through shit sometimes because we go through it. Right. And it's kind of like, we have to, you talked about, you have to have that tribe around you that says, it's okay. We got this. We understand it's going to get better, because a lot of when we are really pushing to accomplish something amazing, it's a challenge. And so we need other, especially women, we need other powerful women that get it, like you said in the beginning, that lift us up, because having that strength around us sometimes is just enough to keep us going and to push higher. That's why if you're watching this right now, not just listening, that's why I have Fuel the Fire. It's my business, and it's all because of that. I see it happen all the time, and I needed it. That's why I started the business, is because I know the power of having that strong tribe around you. So with that said, where can we find out more about what you're doing? And if there's a parent who wants some advice, is there a place where we can send them?
Yeah, my website is Vanessa, V-A-N-E-S-S-A and K-A-H-L-O-N.com. So you can email me there. All the information's up on there. I have newsletters that go out. So I try to do like weekly tips for parents. Again, short and sweet. I don't like a lot of words. So that, and then I'm going to be on 95.7 starting next Saturday, January 6th. 7:30 a.m. to 8. And we're going to have a variety of I already have a bunch of amazing individuals. And I'm looking at the whole child on like trauma, how to talk about war to, you know, sensory issues from infant mental, like I have an infant mental health background too. So it's going to be a wide variety of topics.
I love it.
I did.
Go check her out. Reach out. Don't, if you're trying to do all of this with parenting and working and just living, reach out to for these type of services because it can make a profound difference and you don't have to do it alone. So thank you so much, Vanessa, for sharing all your wisdom and guiding us through being better parents.
Thank you.